This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today with the Boston restaurant industry and accusations of abusive behavior against celebrity Boston chef Barbara Lynch. This after months of calls for a reckoning in the local industry, even as insiders and outsiders alike acknowledge the incredible pressure in restaurant kitchens. We will talk about it all, but we will start with a new response from Lynch to reporting in the Boston Globe and the New York Times. Joining us now, Boston Globe business reporter Janelle Nain, who broke the Boston Globe story. Also joining us, WBUR senior business reporter Zeninjor Enwemeka, who has been following it. Janelle, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here.
And Zeninjor, welcome to you too.
Hi, thanks.
Okay, so give me a minute because I'm going to have to do a little bit of setup here. This stems from stories that ran nearly simultaneously in the Globe and the New York Times, alleging a culture of abusive behavior from Lynch across her restaurants. The trigger appeared to be a meeting with staff at her fine dining restaurant, Menton, after two tragic deaths of chefs there. Lynch reportedly went on a tirade against staff while they were grieving. Someone there recorded it. Reporting is that Chef Tim Deering, who is no relation to me, pushed back on her behavior and was fired on the spot, and that Lynch then physically threatened him. He threatened to, quote unquote, drag Lynch in public. The stories both go on to make numerous additional accusations about abusive behavior from Lynch over the years, as reported by former employees. So, Janelle, I'm going to start with you because we reached out to Lynch for a statement. We also invited her to appear on a future Radio Boston show. She responded through a spokesperson with a lengthy statement that will be on our website, radioboston.org. Lynch said, quote, "I expressly reject the various false accusations lodged against me that I have behaved inappropriately with employees or crossed professional guideposts that are important to me," end quote. Her statement goes on to claim that Lynch was not invited to the memorial event the reporting said she skipped, that the employees who spoke against her in this reporting are represented by the same attorneys who are involved in a class action suit against her by other former employees, that Chef Tim Deering was not fired but later resigned, and that the reporting came from a recording made without her consent and that is therefore illegal under Massachusetts law. Now, we sent you the statement. You saw it before you got here.
I did, yeah.
So I want to give you a chance to respond to Lynch's statement.
Sure. Well, there's a lot there. So
yes,
maybe how do you want me to start?
Exactly? Do you want me to go through the bullets with you?
Yeah, why don't we? Yeah.
Okay. So not invited to the memorial event that the reporting said she skipped.
Sure. So the memorial event was held at the restaurant itself. There was about 50 people in the room from what I've heard. And I did not see the invite list, but I was told by many people who were in attendance that it was noticed that she was not there. So I think that it was part of the larger problem, which is that she had come into the restaurant the evening of his death, Rhett Crofter's death. She didn't address the staff at any point forward. And I think that it was just part of the overall understanding that she really wasn't standing up or helping out the people who were grieving at the time.
Okay, so the second one, employees who spoke against her in this reporting are represented by the same attorneys who are involved in a class action suit against her with other employees.
That is true. And in fact, I think the fact that the incident that happened at Menton was actually what prompted that lawsuit to happen. I think people had, you know, heard about the incident and they felt that this was something that they were just tired of Lynch's actions, and they wanted to stand up for themselves.
And we'll come back to that class action suit later. Mm-hmm. Zeninjor, I'll ask you to explain a little bit more about that
for us
later. All right, so Chef Tim Deering was not fired, but after some conversations later resigned.
Well, according to the recording, you know, she said basically she offered everyone an ultimatum for them whether or not they should come back the following day if they were going to stand by her. Once Tim Deering started talking to her, she told him, you know, get out, you're gone. That is what we heard on the tape. We know that he left. And then we went back to Lynch to ask her to give her side of the story, and she did not elaborate further. So we did not have that detail at the time when we published.
Okay, and the last piece, that the reporting came from a recording made without her consent. She's claiming that under Massachusetts law, it's an illegal recording.
We felt it was a newsworthy recording, and the fact that it had been shared widely among former employees and current employees, and the fact that it also led to a lawsuit, we felt like it was worth talking about because it had prompted this larger response.
So one more question I'm going to ask you on this because it comes up in her statement. Then I'm going to turn to Zeninjor for a minute. Is the fact of the timing of the New York Times and Boston Globe stories. Do you have any explanation or understanding of the co-timing of those stories?
I think that there was a reaction within the community, and I think that people felt as if they could finally come forward and talk. I think that the existence of a tape helped people feel more confident about that. And I think that that was shared with more than one media organization.
So I'm going to turn to Zeninjor Enwemeka now here of WBUR. We've just been hearing from Janelle Nanos, the Boston Globe business reporter who broke the story. We're talking about reporting about Barbara Lynch, abusive culture in her restaurants. And in a minute, we're going to widen that discussion to talk about this moment in the industry in Boston. Zeninjor, a couple of references here to then a class action suit filed in March against Barbara Lynch and her restaurants. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so two former employees are suing Lynch for allegedly withholding tips during the pandemic. So this lawsuit claims that withholding their tips violated the state's labor law, which requires tips to go to servers and other front of house staff. Now, of course, these are workers who rely on these tips as part of their wage structure. And, you know, as I said, this allegedly took place during the pandemic when, you know, so many workers were struggling. Restaurants and other businesses were trying to stay afloat as well. So it was really during a tough time. And these workers in the lawsuit alleged that their tips were not given directly to them, but were used for other purposes. So they did file this lawsuit last month.
And to be clear, Zeninjor, were these workers from the restaurant, and I understand it's Montan, not Menton, or from one of the other restaurants in the Lynch network of restaurants?
Yeah, they worked at one of the restaurants. So there's they are former employees at her restaurants, I believe, including Number 9 Park in Menton. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll come back to you now, Janelle Nanos. You had one of Menton's captains, John George, who supported Lynch's claims in the statement provided to the Globe, stood up strong for her. One of the quotes was, "It's upsetting to see a woman with her level of success and stature be publicly crucified by former staff she once worked closely with and cared deeply about." And it's been interesting sort of in the social media space to see sort of two columns line up. Right. Sure. One saying it is time for a reckoning across the Boston industry. And we've had other conversations here on Radio Boston, as well as WBUR's The Common and at WBUR City Space, sounding the need for those conversations. But then another saying this was going after Barbara Lynch. Were there others that you spoke to who said these allegations just aren't true?
I think it is a little bit of a, it depends on the person's experience, and it depends on the time that they were with working alongside Barbara. So, you know, I brought up different allegations to different employees who worked with her at various points over her career. I asked, you know, were there moments of inappropriate touching? Maybe that was not something that everyone witnessed or saw. I think that there was always issues with her alcohol use. And I think that that was something that was also very much kind of part of the culture of restaurants when she was starting out opening her own 25 years ago. And so, you know, one person said to me, look, like, you know, it was kind of a rock and roll time. Everybody was, you know, everyone was in the kitchen. It was rowdy. Everyone was late. There was always alcohol. The fact that she was in the mix was actually seen as almost somewhat of a good thing, right? She could play alongside all the men in the room. I think what's happened over the last few years is that it's gotten a lot harder for staffers. And so people who I talked to, who had talked, you know, worked for her 10 years ago or more, said, you know, some of those things don't necessarily align with what I saw, but it's in keeping with an overall trend of the way she acts. And so, yeah, I think there's people across the board. I also think, you know, that was not everyone is going to agree with the story, but I think the overwhelming consensus is that there was a lot of problems there.
I want to note, by the way, that Lynch has been public herself about her alcohol
use.
She
has, yeah.
And we are having a conversation about trauma, an abusive culture, alcohol use. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, there is a mental health crisis hotline. You can reach it 24/7 via text or phone call, and that phone number is 988. So Zeninjor, I'll come back to you. In follow-up, after these stories broke in the Boston Globe and the New York Times, you reached out for reaction in the industry. And I want to find out both what your experience was in receiving reactions and if these themes, both of high pressure, high stakes, and the prevalence of things like alcohol use, were in the responses that you received in your follow-up reporting.
Yeah. So, Tiziana, first, I just want to clarify for your question earlier about the separate lawsuit on tips. The two employees in that case, one was a server at B&G Oysters, and the other was a bartender at Drink. So just to clarify your earlier question. But speaking about the culture, I would say that, you know, didn't come up as much in my conversations, but I will say there was at least some frustration with that depiction of the industry of, you know, that it just has this toxic, unhealthy work environments at restaurants everywhere. And, you know, there are some in the industry that said, hey, that's not true. Whether talking about substance abuse or bad workplace behavior, they say that there are restaurants that do provide a healthy work environment for their employees. But, you know, of course, there's, you know, this idea of the drinking, partying culture that, you know, some people say they have experience in the industry at large, you know, is something that, you know, many restaurant owners have to contend with, even as some may be trying to get away from that.
So, Zeninja Enwemeka, Janelle Nanos, stand by. I will come back to you in a few minutes, but I'm going to turn now to someone in the industry. Deborah Hansen is chef owner of Taberna de Aro, which is a restaurant in Brookline. Deborah, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Deborah, I'm just going to invite you to give just a quick reaction to the conversation you've heard so far.
Well, I bristle when we make assumptions that everyone in the restaurant industry is alcohol sodden. I have been chef owner sommelier of restaurants now for 30 years. I can count on one hand the number of times I have had to deal with substance abuse. Do people drink? Yes. Have I had alcoholics? No. Just happy social drinkers. I think a lot of her behavior and other chefs like her gets exonerated, justified, and with excluding the lovely present company I'm in now, the press is part of this problem. The more someone's in the press, the more the algorithm picks up that they're in the press, thinks that they're worthy of being in the press, and suddenly you have this someone who's hero worshipped that perhaps doesn't deserve it. Someone who's an excellent cook maybe isn't an excellent leader. And to me, in my kitchen, the most important thing, and many other chefs that I know, is just to be a good leader. Be a good leader. Be a peaceful leader. Be a clean leader. Be a kind leader. And then a kitchen is a wonderful place to work, full of creativity and passion.
So in your experience, and I'm going to set up a dichotomy. You can choose whether it's a true dichotomy or a false dichotomy. In your experience, are we at a moment in restaurant culture in Greater Boston that is moving away from abusive cultures into something more full of great leaders and moving forward? Or do you believe it was always unusual or exceptional when restaurants had abusive culture, and predominantly our restaurant culture has been a positive, healthy one? I have heard chefs argue both.
Yes. I think it's completely dependent on the individual. And good leaders and good chefs and people with a good business head and a long-term view and no substance issues will always run wonderful businesses, including kitchens and restaurants. So are we moving toward a better culture? I think we are. I believe we are. Will there always be outliers that have their own personal issues and they bring them to their workplace and they don't know how to control themselves? Yes, that will be the case in restaurants and every business.
So, Deborah, when you say we're moving towards a better culture, in your mind, with your nearly 30 years of experience, what is better? What are two or three hallmarks of great restaurant and kitchen culture?
Respect, peace, not too many hours in the kitchen. People should be working 40, 45 hours max, not 80. This is ridiculous. It makes for high pressure. It makes for over-caffeinated or anything else individuals in a kitchen. No one should be working crazy hours. Everyone should be fairly paid. And we need to have more reverence for people who just run a tight, clean ship instead of having adulation for the badass. We're too obsessed with the badass. They just get all the press and all the glory when what's wrong with someone who's running a calm, lovely kitchen where everyone is happy and conversing and putting out good food? What's wrong with that? Never in the press. Never gets attention.
And my last question for you, Deborah. During the pandemic, we had a lot of conversation about the way that restaurant patrons might be contributing to overwhelming stress, negative environments, fatigue and burnout for restaurant workers in particular, bad behavior as people came back into restaurants. What can patrons do better, especially when Yelp is always in your back pocket?
Yelp, don't get me started. Those pressures put on us by patrons are borne by the front of the house people, not the cooks. What can patrons do to do better? Be compassionate that this is a human being. This is a human being that has chosen to be here to serve you. Why would you insult them or put them down or make it harder for them to give you a lovely experience? When you come out, you're paying for a lovely experience. Be kind to the person giving it to you and your experience will be better.
All right.
Be kind. That's my... Be kind.
Deborah Hansen is chef and owner of Taberna de Aro and Brookline, also sommelier there. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So Janelle Nanos and Ninjur and Wemeka still standing by here of the Boston Globe and WBUR. I'll turn back to you now. So obviously, more stories to cover here. And Zeninjur, I'll begin with you. You've covered under other industries. You've watched other developments. What do you think are some key questions that need to get asked now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is, you know, what happens next out of this? I mean, it is interesting. There sort of seems to be this kind of culture, this sort of tension within when we're talking about workplace culture within restaurants, where there are those who, you know, see the allegations against Lynch as a very extreme example and something that shouldn't cast a negative shadow over the entire industry. And there are others whose reactions have been to say, you know, finally, this is coming out. This has been going on for years. This behavior happens a lot with other people as well. And so I think there are some larger conversations around what do we do with those two things and how do we move forward? How does the industry move forward? And I think, you know, right now we have, as we've seen with other industries, we have a workforce that's, you know, less willing to, you know, put up with bad behavior or put up with a bad working environment. And they're more vocal and they're more willing to take action, as we saw with the recent allegations against Lynch and as we've seen with, you know, maybe some other cases. And so it'll be interesting to see if there is more action from a legal perspective that comes up moving forward. And it'll be interesting to see if there is maybe more willingness to have these open, broader conversations around workplace culture in the restaurant industry.
Janelle, I'm curious, you know, I sort of have posited that for months there's been a push to begin to have these conversations. There is this moment with Barbara Lynch after the incident and with the recordings available. Are they part of an arc or is this a one-off and that other pressure is still there? In your gut, what do you think?
I think this is prompting a bit larger conversation about issues within the industry, within the city. I think that there's definitely other people that I've heard talked about as well. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are kind of looking back and saying, you know, we can talk more openly about this when we can address our own problems too, right? So it's not just the leaders on top, but it's like, let's have a conversation about the culture at large. How do we address these larger issues? How do we get ourselves to a place where we can have these conversations a little bit more openly. And I think that's hopefully will be a good thing in the end.
And are you engaged in follow-on reporting right now?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. Anything you can tell us?
Why don't you just check out the Boston Globe and then you
soon. I kind of thought that's what was going on. How about you, Zeninjur? Will we see follow-up reporting from you?
Yes, we are working on some follow-up reporting and hoping to have more soon.
All right. Zeninjur and Wemeka is WBUR senior business reporter. Janelle Nanos is Boston Globe business reporter, broke the story about Barbara Lynch in the Boston Globe. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.